We're in a day, a very confusing day. It goes back quite a long while, but in the last couple of years, it has really surfaced. That is, the power of evolution. Evolution came into being quite a while ago, and as it surfaced, it began to affect so much of the population. Even a while back, it affected the church, and many pastors then began to try to adapt the Bible to science related to evolution. And many pastors get caught in a trap and continued to be so today. So they're trying to use the Bible, but we got to adjust the Bible to what evolution teaches. Then today we got climate change we're talking about. Now it went back a few years back, it was the earth warming, then it was the earth getting colder. Now to sort of equalize between the two, so no matter what happens, they're right either way, climate change. And I think it was 2 years ago, approximately close to 2 years ago, it was stated publicly from government leadership that we had about 12 years to destroy Earth or else do something about it. And they're working on that theory that we've got to do something in a big hurry to handle climate change. And I just heard this week on the news that, I don't know what they'll do about it, but they've found that the ozone layer, which is up in our atmosphere, has been adapting where they felt it was being destroyed. It has been adapting to changes, and there's been no change. And this whole thing on climate change is about the ozone layer that is supposedly being destroyed. Well, first of all, I'm going to put on an overhead for you to see God's timeline as from the present to the beginning. And also this timeline, science puts it, well, what you'll see near where we are right now is very near the end. But then I want to add God's timeline to show, no, God has a lot more ahead. And what God says is true. It goes by this book. Turn your Bibles to Genesis 1:1. Pastors hit on this particular passage many times. We should know it by heart. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And something I've loved on this is the Elohim for God, plural, a plural Godhead made up of a triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. So right off the bat, the scriptures tell us we have a triune Godhead, Elohim. And right straight down through the first chapter, Elohim is used, I forget the count on it, but many, many times throughout the first chapter. Then you get into chapter 2, by the way, Elohim is the first primary name of God in the scriptures. In chapter 2, we come to the second primary name of God. Now, it's Jehovah. And like, for example, when you're reading through your Bible and you see Jehovah, that's talking to God the Father. And if you, as you're reading the Old Testament scriptures and see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that also is Jehovah. And if it's L, capital L-O-R-D, That is the third primary name of God, Adonai. Master. Anyhow, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now turn with me to the Gospel of John. Again, Pastor has brought us here a number of times recently, but just seeing things clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we know that that W-O-R-D relates to Jesus Christ, who is the Word. So, in the beginning, Elohim, Jesus Christ, was there. Christ did not begin his life at Bethlehem. His life goes back eternally to the very beginning. Always a Godhead. No beginning. Eternal Godhead. Verse 2 of John. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, note carefully. All things were made by him. Now that him refers to Word, which refers to Jesus Christ. Christ created. Wow. All things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. We'll be looking at this a little later. But life, we know that life in the day which we're living in right now, the new birth is life, eternal life. Okay, if you put the overhead on. Okay, in the beginning. And it's estimated to be about 4,000 BC. And to where we are right now, 2000 AD. Nearly 6,000 years have gone by since creation. We don't need any adjustment. God didn't need any time to do his creating. It was done, bang, done. In the beginning, God. While Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they sinned. First, Eve was deceived by Satan to sin. She paid attention to him. He lied to her, but it sounded good. She looked at the fruit of the tree, and that looked good, so she ate it. And God had said, the instant you eat of that fruit, you will die. Eve died spiritually that moment. Now there was a covering for both of them. We do not know exactly what that covering was, but when Adam approached, she was without that covering, so he knew that she had partaken of that forbidden fruit and had died spiritually. So he saw that change. He made a choice. I'm going to take of that fruit and be like my wife and disobey God. He too died spiritually. Now they had been enjoying apparently a day-by-day fellowship with, must have been Jesus Christ in an angelic form, walking with him day by day. But when they sinned, they knew that they were different. Something had totally changed in them. Physically, they were still alive, and they had to hide from God. And then found out there's a consequence, a big one. You've died spiritually. You're going to die physically. If they hadn't sinned, they could still be, or would still be alive today, almost 6,000 years later. But death was to come. They came under the curse, the land to be cursed, all animal life cursed, they themselves cursed. And when Eve had her first son born, it was born with a painful birth like women experience today. And God had made a promise to them. Genesis 3:15, there would be the promised seed, as was mentioned this morning about the promised seed, which would be the Messiah, perfect, holy, righteous. And Adam and Eve thought that first son must be this promised seed. But instead, he did not want to go by the teachings, what they, as mom and dad had told him and brought him up to know the truth of what was taking place. When he had the opportunity of going his way, he was going to go his way, and he went his way. We know the story. He killed his brother, jealous over him because he accepted his offering for sin. Oh, by the way, when they sinned, the first death ever took place. God did it. An animal had to die to give them clothing to cover their bodies. And then we realize as time went by, God had told them to cover their sins, an animal had to die. And remember, the first son, Cain, I want to bring the fruit from my vegetables and stuff from my garden, which I've raised, put a lot of work into raising it. I'll offer that. God won't accept it. Abel presented his offering of blood. It was accepted. And Cain was jealous, killed his brother. Now, the first two sons, pretty rough shape. Sin entered this picture. We're under the curse of sin now. You look at me, I'm under the curse. You can just see what's, you know, I got a major problem with my neck. This brace really only comes off at night. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. First trouble is pain. And if I don't protect further, I'm in greater trouble, and I won't go into all that. It's life. It is life-threatening. Results of sin. I'm in pain 24 hours a day, and I've just had experience starting Friday. The little old sciatica nerve hasn't troubled me in over 3 years, began troubling. Going to have to do something about it. Yes, we have this. I know it. We all realize sufferings come our way, all because of the curse. But one day, we'll have a new body. Do you believe it? That new body at the rapture is going to be like that. An atom of time will take place. That will take place, and then out of this world. At the second coming of Christ, those who have died, or at the rapture of the church, those who have died, also their bodies will be changed. They've been in heaven, and their bodies changed. Then later on, we'll look at another overhead to see when the others have their bodies changed. I put on here 1,500, a little over 1,500 years after they said, began things just, population had grown and grown and grown and grown, and God says, I'm going to have to do something terrible about this. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6, and we want to look at, get my notes here, though I think I can see them. Verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be, you notice it, 120 years. Warning to the population of the earth at that time, 120 years, then a catastrophe is going to take place. Catastrophe of a flood. It's going to rain. Well, you know what? They had no idea what rain was. They had never seen a drop of rain up to that point. 1,500 years on planet Earth, never rained. Earth was watered by a mist. God said, I'm going to bring rain. You're crazy. It's going to be a flood. What do you mean? What is a flood? And in the coming verses following this in chapter 6, Noah was instructed how large to build the ark, the exact dimensions of it, and he built it. It's way away from any body of water. And you're crazy. The day came, God said, go into that ark. Everyone was invited to come in. You know how many? Only 8 people. Out of the total population of the earth at that time, 8 people went into the earth. And at that time, an amazing, amazing thing took place. Noah and his family did not have to chase around to find particular animals. God had already instructed 2 of every kind of animal, and then those that were to be under sacrifices, I believe it was 7, came. They just marched to the ark, and right into the ark they went. Didn't have to force them. They were the chosen ones, and in they went. Then God shut the door. But then it tells us a strange thing took place. 7 days after they entered the ark, for 7 days there was no rain. Can you imagine the communication outside the ark at that time? They couldn't get out, they were in. God had shut that door. And then it rained. And we know the results. And evolution tries to handle this in its own special way, trying to say, no flood. But Christian scientists who are doing research, we have found all over the world evidence of the flood near the tops of high mountains. Wow. God means what he says. He does exactly that. So when we get the flood, and here we've got 2 events we looked at that have changed the world. We are well aware of the sin. And when they sinned, they learned right and wrong. And right and wrong is determined by the inner person, our conscience. The conscience then knew right and wrong. And guess what? All of us have a conscience, right and wrong, choices. Of course, we know back in the time of Judges, the man was doing, what was right in their own eyes. We're seeing that very special today. Our government doing what's right in their own eyes. And What's right for one is wrong for another. We're seeing it. All right? Right here, 4 BC, and the reason I say 4 BC, our calendar, oh, and by the way, we just turned on our calendar to 20,023 AD. Do you know what AD means? In the year of our Lord. BC, that's easy, before Christ. The birth of Christ affected the calendar of the world. The only thing is, when Alexander sought to establish the calendar, he made an error, and they found it through actually the life of Herod, that it, what they said is zero was actually 4 years earlier. So at 4 BC, we find that's the date of the birth of Christ. And the birth of Christ, all are miraculous. Without the aid of a male, Christ was born. God the Spirit implanted that seed in Mary. She wondered, when she was told that this was going to place, how can this be? I don't understand. But Lord, I believe you. I'm with you all the way on this. And the Messiah was born perfect. No sin in him at all. And parents, how long did it take you to recognize that your little child was trying to get his or her own way, when it was a time for everybody to be asleep and the child says, I want attention. I want it right now, 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't need to be fed, I'm all set. My diapers don't need to be changed, but I want attention now. Had to learn. I remember my mother told me when our first baby was coming, Ray, your wife is going to recognize whether the cry means I'm hungry, I need the diaper changed, or I want attention. You won't know the difference. But when your wife says, don't pick that child up, she's right, don't. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble down the line. Well, the sin picture shows up very clearly. Christ the Messiah born. Now here we are right now in 2023. We're told many things we believe. You tell anybody about the rapture of the church, you're cuckoo. You don't know what you're talking about. And because of this, what was it, 2 years ago, I heard it announced publicly by one of our legislators that the enemy of the United States government is Christians. You can recognize that. That's your enemy. Wow. You know what? If things continue as they are, they're going to want to silence the enemy. It will start with the churches. Well, God's in control. Thankful for that. I want to turn to a passage in Galatians chapter 4. I found out a surprise. Have a nice light right here. I can see down here on the pulpit, which I didn't think I'd be able to do. Galatians 4, and Let me see where I am. Verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of time... I dropped a very, very important word. But when the fullness of... What's the next word? The. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. That word, the, is very, very important. God's timing. When the fullness of God's time is finished with the age of grace or the age of the church, you know what's going to happen? Bing. We are believers, only believers are removed. Now, there are two types of believers. Did you know that? There's believers just in the head, and we know devils are called believers. They're not saved. There's a lot of people, their belief is only right there. It's not down here, 18 inches from salvation. And when the fullness of time is next finished, God has his time precisely. The church is to be removed. Wow. God works by his time clock. All right, I'm going to show another overhead. This one I'm not going to dwell on. It may be a future time, but God has a future. Get my pen here. The rapture of the church, 7 years, tribulation, 1,000 years, millennium, the great white throne judgment. Boy, that's not so good. At the great white throne judgment, believers are not judged. It's all the unsaved are judged, and they are sent to their destiny in the lake of fire. And God's going to have a new heaven and a new earth. Bass has been spending time on this, so I'm not going to go further on it. We'll look at another timeline quickly. Yours and mine. A few years ago, when my wife passed on, in fact, it's been almost, 13 years? She's buried in a little private cemetery up in New Hampshire near the at the homestead property where my mother grew up. And there's a headstone there. Her name's on it. Name, birth date, death date. Also, my name is on it. Birth date, but they couldn't put the death date on. You know, it's possible that may never go on that tombstone. The rapture of the church takes place, there's no body. No body, no death. Possible that will never show up there. Pastor often speaks of the pages of the book. And it looks like those pages are turning. I know the pages of my life are turning. How many more pages be left? I don't know. I know when I saw my primary doctor a few weeks ago, he stated, I don't see you dying soon. With your attitude the way it is, that's not disturbing things, you're going to live maybe 100, 105. He recognizes there's something different with me, who is Christ in me. He changes things. We'll be getting to that in a few moments. I'm going to put another overhead on. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And get to chapter 5. There we are. And verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The whole of us, the whole of this person. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Body, soul, spirit. We're a trichotomy being. Only human beings are trichotomy beings. Animals have a body and they have instinct, period. That's it. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. Believers have a spirit which is alive. And I'll put another overhead on now. You'll bring back memories to many of you. The believer baptized into Christ, the believer baptized into death. I'll take the second part first. All of you who have been baptized know that we believe baptism by immersion. And when you went down into the tank, and behind me, the tank there, some of you have been baptized in this tank, and you were put under the water and brought up out of the water. And we're taught that you were displaying a picture of what Jesus Christ went through. He died on the cross, he was buried in a grave, and he arose again the third day. Then a picture of you yourself. When you came to Christ, you were to die to the sins of the old nature. You recognized the wrongness of them, buried and resurrected to a new life in Christ. And I want to be talking a little bit about that new life in Christ. So now we'll look at the believer baptized into Christ. The believer should have two baptisms, one by water, the other by semblance. The very moment you and I, who have received Christ, the moment you received him, you was baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. You were part of the church of God, the invisible church of God. Then within the local church, the local church, there's been two ordinances that were commanded by Christ for the churches to perform and for believers to keep. One is communion. In remembrance of Christ, we partake of communion. The other one is baptism. And Christ has ordained, he himself ordained that the churches teach this and that believers practice it. I find it hard to understand why many believers don't want to go through the waters of baptism. They'll partake of communion, but not be baptized to publicly identify themselves with Jesus Christ, teaching that I, before this audience, publicly state, I am a born-again believer, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, was buried, and rose again. And yet afraid of something, to do this? Individuals know the answer there. Now, we can shut the light off for the overhead. I did not make overheads for the next part. We've looked at the power of God in displaying who He is. Now I want to have you and me look at the power of God in each believer, only believers, and myself, that same power in me. So, first of all, I want you to turn with me to Acts 1:8. Note carefully the words of Christ, that it is the words of Christ who states this. And this is at Pentecost, before the message of Pentecost, before Christ ascended into heaven, He stated to the disciples and those with Him, "But ye believers, you believers, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." It's the first part that I just wanted to think of in this matter. Ye shall receive power. The very moment you receive Christ. Now with them, it's the very moment at Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came upon them. Now with us as believers, the very moment we receive Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us. He has first baptized us into Christ, and the whole Godhead comes into us. And something beyond that, which we find later, our bodies have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are temple. And living in the spirit part of us, which was dead in trespasses and sins, but at the moment of the new birth became alive and became the house of the Godhead. So wonderful. God there, His power in us. Now I want you to see with me the availability of this power as we continue on in life. I trust you're with me. First, let's go to 1 Peter 1:5. This is a verse I have quoted to a number of doctors in the last few months, especially during the course of this year when changes took place. First doctor was one that he had to tell me, announce to me what was happening up here in my neck. And he was all set to perform a procedure on me. Before he came into the waiting room, into the room, his nurse had laid out all the utensils to be used on performing that procedure. But I talked with him a little bit of some problems, so he had to leave the room and look them up. I had an MRI and looked at it, came back into the room. He said, "I know." Well, he also was to tell, well, I had vertigo because of the intense dizziness I was having, twice sent to the hospital. Could not get out of the dizziness, just continually spinning terribly. Couldn't stand on my feet, couldn't even hold my body up. And the hospital said it was vertigo. He said, "You do not have vertigo." Absolutely not. "But you've got herniated discs in your neck." And I already knew that I had a spur there that been there for many, many years, but it had grown to the point that if I just move my head up and down to say yes, I'm likely to be all done. It will sever the carotid artery. He said, Rain, I do not dare do the procedure. He said, I might die. And I said, Doctor, I want to tell you something. I'm ready. If the Lord says this is my time to leave planet Earth, I'm ready. Then he answered, said, Ray, I don't want to lose you under my watch. So, no procedure. Found out later, I've known for years, I've got cataracts. But seeing my doctor beginning of last year, Ray, you're getting near time to have cataract surgery. We do not dare do it. Again, I'm ready to meet my maker. Now, the verse we're looking at, I've quoted to both of those men, I am kept by the power of God. When God wants to take me, it'll be in His timing. I'm ready. But in the meantime, I'm kept by that. And that's why the doctor, a little over a month ago, stated, your ailments aren't going to take you. You just die of old age. Kept by, you notice that word? Power of God. You and I, all of us, kept by the power of God. Now, do you need to worry about this? I don't. Have problems come along? I've just put them in the Lord's hand. I learned long ago not to worry over things. Put them in God's hand. Leave them there. Kept by the power of God. Let's move on. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Each one at the new birth. This isn't water baptism. This is at the new birth. At the new birth, baptized into Christ, but baptized into his death. Now it explains it a little further. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man, the old nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What is this telling us? Crucified, that's death. But I look out at you, you look up at me, I have not died yet, you have not died yet. What does this baptism under death mean? Now, Christ was crucified on the cross. He literally died. The world tried to say he was just unconscious in the grave and his body was stolen. No, he literally died and was buried and rose again on the third day. We have an answer in verse 11 of Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye, account it as taken place, Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Mr. Zeller this morning had us turn, I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. We put our names in there. Here it is right here again. We account the old nature as dead. I do not want to turn to things of the old nature. I want to look at what God has. But our familiarity all through life is things from the old nature. All through life there are things that like to stir up things from the old nature. Televisions, our whole society tries to work on from our inward thinking, you know, inside of us, we got a soul and spirit, body, soul, spirit, in the spirit, intellect, emotion, will. And the intellect says one thing, and the intellect is guided first by the old nature. And things that come in from the windows of the body to reach into us try to work on the lusts of the flesh. That's one of the key areas, lustfulness of the flesh. The world is just so much enthralled in this area of lust. You know, even teaching our little children on things on sex don't belong there at all. And yet it's working in the area of lust. I could go on in this area and just sickening. But God says, listen, believers, you've got to count things from the old nature as dead. You've got to recognize it as dead. Now, here is where it is. You and I, as believers, make a choice of what we're going to do. We make a choice on it. I'll hit again on a very popular area, worry. Is worrying from God? You know the answer. No, absolutely not. So if it's not from God, where is it from? It's from the old nature. And when we have something that disturbs us, we want to worry about it, we make the choice to worry about it. Now, I've said this several times with you folks. I learned many, many years ago, fairly young, I'd asked one question. Lord Jesus, are you worried about this that's bothering me? And I was taught, no. So I learned very early, put that on Jesus Christ, not later, but now. Now, right then. Put it on him. Let him carry it. A baptism in Christ is recognized, now, with the power of God that's in us here, with God's help, we can say no. No to the old nature, yes to the new. God gives us that power. Wonderful. All right, let's go ahead a little bit further. We've looked at Acts 1:8. At the new birth, we received his power. His power is already resident in us. Ephesians 3:20. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the, notice that next word, power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, all ages, world without end. Amen. God does this. His power. We have it. Will we use it? Next, 2 Peter 1:3. According to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature which is dwelling in us, have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, now let's do some adding. I think it's interesting. We add, but God multiplies in us. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, isn't that tremendous? God adding, but Christ will multiply. I won't go into a passage on that part tonight. One more passage. How are we going to live? Just plain going on in life. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And verse 4. And though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we, notice the next word, also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you, us. Let's live by the power of God. That's our choice. Now, how can we do this? We've got to get close to God. Our relationship with him growing, a continual relationship. This book, the only book that's holy, we recognizing God has in this book a message to us. I trust that with every one of you, the only time you spend in the Bible is not just here on Sundays and Wednesdays, but during the course of the week, you're in this book. Why? Because you love it. It is God's message to us personally. Now, you may not have time to read a great deal, but daily, taking something from this book, and when you do read, that something is something right there that God has for you right then. So you don't read along and it's just going in and out, you've totally forgotten, but you see something there he has for you. Our God is interested in each and every one of us. He's interested in the details, I mean it, the very details of our lives. Well, I'd like to challenge you to if you don't already do it, to watch for personal details God is working in you, just in you alone. You'll be surprised. Maybe just something you've dropped and you can't find it. Lord, help me find it. Oh, there it is. But to recognize God is doing it. I had something special this week. Last week, I saw me dermatologist. There was a spot I didn't like the looks of. And the doctor said he recognized it right off the bat. Not good. Can't think of the word I wanted. It was, what was taken was sent. Well, Monday I got a report back, last Monday. Ray, you caught this early. You do not have to have Mohs surgery. I don't know, imagine some of you have had Mohs surgery, you know exactly what that is. They'll take little fine layers off, they're just after the cancer, and they'll keep doing it. When you go for the appointment, say, be here, plan to be here for all day long, because they may have to take several layers off. It's very interesting to take place. But the call was, Ray, you do not have to have that surgery. We're giving you an appointment to come, and he will freeze it off. Thank you, Lord. I didn't look forward to another surgery, but it was a blessing. I say it was a detail that God worked out. God gives details. I'll give another one. This past week, I think it was Thursday, one of my sons who's got a lot of back problems like his dad, and was anticipating, he was sent to the surgeon to have back surgery. And his appointment was, it was Thursday night. His appointment was last Thursday. Went to the surgeon. The doctor looked at the MRI results. And he said, Joel, you've got something worse than your back. And that's got to be taken care of first, then we'll see about the back later. Your hip is totally bone on bone. No matter you're in there, all the pain you're in, there's nothing there to hold it in place. It's a mess. I'll call a surgeon, hip surgeon. We'll make an appointment. That office, doctor's office, is 2 hours away from where they lived, and your appointment became, we've had a cancellation, we'll see him in 3 hours. He called me excited. Dad, here's a detail of what God did. Thank you, Lord. Watch for the details of God so our hearts are in tune with God. He's interested in every one of us as individuals. We're not lost in the crowd. He loves us. It's wonderful. Kept by God's power, all of us. It's not unusual for any one person. It's available to every one of us, letting God work in and through us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. First, able to meet your son at the cross. That meeting was so wonderful. That new birth taking place, so marvelous. Then to know that you have placed in us such a wonderful power that's available to every one of us as believers. Lord, we thank you for your help, your directing, you're helping us to go forward in the Christian walk so that our lives are pleasing unto you, thou who art the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.